of the Holy Spirit. We look at the person of the Holy Spirit. And again, we see the goodness of God to us, not just to give us life, but according to Jesus, to give us life more abundantly. I'm going to, just so you know where I'm going, and if I get lost, please put your hand up and tell me I'm lost. But we're going to go to three things this morning. The first thing we're going to look at is the Holy Spirit is not an abstract influence. He's not an abstract influence. We're going to look at the fact that he is, in fact, a person. He's got a personality. And then lastly, I'm going to speak about the need we have to have the Holy Spirit in our life. The need we have to have the Holy Spirit in our life. We spoke this morning while these children were dedicated, how the family and the church family and others gather around and come alongside the children. And the Holy Spirit needs to come alongside us. So this morning we will look first of all at the fact that the Holy Spirit is not an abstract influence. And many people think of him that way. The Holy Spirit is not an influence, although he can influence us. He's not just an influence. The Holy Spirit is not some mysterious, malevolent ghost as you see in the movies, although he is a spirit, but he's very much alive. The Holy Spirit is in fact a person. He's a person. Our problem in this instant world is that we regard things as real only if we can engage them with our five senses. If we can see them or touch them, or then we think they're real. But what about the wind? What about the wind? We can see the trees and the grass bending. We can feel the wind on our faces. But can we see the wind? Nobody's ever seen the wind. But it's there. We know it's there. What about electricity? You know it's there. If you turn the light switch on, the lights come on in South Africa occasionally. But we know it's there. Put your finger in the plug and you know that the electricity is there. What about gravity? Can we see gravity? If you jump off the garage roof, you discover you can fly, and we do. We fly really well. But it always ends in tears, doesn't it? And maybe in outpatients. And so we establish the existence of gravity. It's there. We can't see it, but it's there. Somehow we have little difficulty. Most people have little difficulty. If you speak about God, you can grasp the concept of God. You can even grasp the concept of Jesus. You can understand that. But when we come to speak about the Holy Spirit, it somehow presents a difficulty. We battle to get our minds around what or who the Holy Spirit is. Certainly, many churches pay little more than lip service to the Holy Spirit. They hardly speak of him. They will refer to him at baptisms or at dedications of babies or at some formal do. But they give lip service to the Holy Spirit. And many Christians treat him with great caution due to the gymnastics of the lunatic fringe. And so they're a bit careful. If you're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, what are you going to do? You're going to turn the lights off and everyone's going to swing from the chandeliers. People are a bit careful. And this reticence about the Holy Spirit results in a sterile church and with many folk who have defeated Christian lives. They're scared. They're scared. But the truth, however, is that the Holy Spirit of God is a real person and there is a real blessing and benefit for each of us in getting to know him better than we do. And I must tell you from a personal point of view, I really do want to know him better. And I pray that each of us would have that desire to know the Holy Spirit better. I'm pursuing the Holy Spirit of our God. I'm seeking after him, and I pray that you would also do that. The Holy Spirit wants to be more in our lives. He wants to be more than just a positive influence. He wants to be more than something we don't understand. He wants to be real to each of us. And his purpose is to make Jesus more real to us. That's his purpose, is to make Jesus more real to us. The purpose of the Holy Spirit does not come to say, hello folks, here I am, I'm the Holy Spirit. No, the Holy Spirit has come in order to point us to Jesus. He wants to introduce us to Jesus and have Jesus more and more real to him, to us. So the second thing I'm going to speak about this morning today is the Holy Spirit is a person, a real person. In John chapter 14 and verse 16, Jesus says these words, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Some translations will say another comforter, another helper, to be with you forever. And then in verse 17, Jesus says this, and he speaks of he will be with you, and he will be in you. He will be in you. So you hear people say, you need to accept Jesus into your heart. Now, if you are a little boy or a little girl and you are given that thought, how do you get a person into your heart? You can't, can you? You can try. You might get the hand in there, but you won't get anything else in there. So how do you get Jesus into your heart? By the Holy Spirit, who comes to be in you. And Jesus said, he'll be with you and he'll be in you. And Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as he. He doesn't refer to him as it. Refers to the Holy Spirit as he. It's interesting because in the Greek, the word for spirit is always in the neuter noun, for those of you who are linguists. And yet in the case of the Holy Spirit, the masculine pronoun is used. He. And Jesus said, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper or comforter and he will be with you forever. Another word that Jesus used here, the word another that Jesus used in this place, means somebody just like me, not somebody else who's different or something else that's different or some other. The word another that Jesus uses speaks of somebody just like me, like him, like Jesus. Jesus was very close to his disciples. He spent 3 years with them. They lived together. They heard him teach. They watched the miracles he performed. They saw the dead raised. They saw the lame walk. They heard the dumb speak. They watched him deal with his critics. They ate meals with him. They were very close to Jesus. Jesus said, the comforter or the helper will be just like me. What you've experienced for 3 years, the Holy Spirit's going to be just like me. Today, Jesus is physically not with us in bodily form. But he says to us this morning, as we listen to his word, he says to us, the comforter, the Holy Spirit, is just like me, like Jesus. What was Jesus like? The Holy Spirit will explain that to us. And as you read the scriptures, what do you imagine Jesus was like? As you read through the Gospels, as you read what Paul says about Jesus, what do you imagine Jesus to be? How do you picture him in your mind? The Holy Spirit will be just like Jesus. Just like Jesus. We cannot see him, but he is a person with a personality. The Holy Spirit has a personality. And there are three things that are necessary, probably more, but there are three things I'm going to speak about today that are necessary for the Holy Spirit to have a personality. Three things. The first one is, if he is a person, he will need intelligence. Isn't that true? If he's a person, he's got intelligence. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 9 and 10 says this, but it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the deep things of God. The Spirit, he's got intelligence. He can search these things out. He can bring them to light. He can explain them to us. And then 1 Peter, just a few verses from 1 Peter chapter 1. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Isn't that strange? Christians are strange people. They love somebody they can't see. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. God's peculiar people. We love somebody we don't see. According to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you, in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you, by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which the angels long to look at. Isn't that amazing? The Holy Spirit took all those mysteries and he explained them to us. Clearly, suddenly we see it. The prophets of old didn't understand it. The angels looked at it with question marks. Holy Spirit came and said, this is what it is, and explained it to us. In John chapter 16, verse 12, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. And when the Spirit of truth, that's who the Holy Spirit is, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. And listen to this in verse 14. And he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine, Jesus speaking, he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The English Standard Version says he will declare it to you. I love the King James Bible for that verse. It says, instead of declare, he will take what is mine and he will show it to you. Now, if you have an old King James Bible and read it, you'll discover they spell the word show, H-E-W. If you've got an old Bible, has anybody ever noticed that? H-E-W. You know what that means? If something is declared to you, like this morning, we were told we are going to remember the life of Mill next week. That was declared to you. But if something is showed to you, H-E-W, it's like this. I take this microphone and I hold it up. Can you all see it? Have you noticed that it's got this metal grid on the top? Have you noticed it's got this ring around here? And at the bottom, probably, there's a button. Or is it on the side? You know what show means? It means to display and to describe in great detail. In great detail. He's not just making a declaration. He's actually describing the fine details. And so this verse says, he will glorify me. He will take what is mine. Jesus said he'll take what belongs to me. He'll take aspects of me. And he'll show it to you. He will give you all the details of it, as only the Holy Spirit can. He will describe it to you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 13 says, and we impart these words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those that are spiritual. Spiritual truths to those that are spiritual. When the Holy Spirit is in your heart and you hear the Word of God, the Spirit speaks to your heart about those things. The Holy Spirit has intelligence. Then if the Holy Spirit is to have personality, he will need to have a will. He will need to have a will. I will drive my car home later this afternoon, today, if it starts, of course. But it's a will. I've got a will. 1 Corinthians 12 says, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit. Speaking of the gifts in chapter 12 of Corinthians, God speaks about the gifts there. Paul writes, and he speaks about the gifts. And then he writes this in verse 11. He says, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills, as the Holy Spirit wills. He has a will. And thirdly, for him to have a personality, he needs to display emotions. He needs to display emotions. Do you know the Holy Spirit has got emotions? We know the Holy Spirit is God, and one of God's attributes and emotions is that of love. That of love. 1 John chapter 4, 8 says, God is love. So God doesn't just love, God is love. That's the essence of God, love. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. He can be grieved. You can make him sorry. You can make him feel very hurt. He can be vexed. He can be vexed. What does it mean to vex somebody? It means to make them annoyed, to make them frustrated, to make them irritated, to provoke them. That's to vex somebody. And the Holy Spirit can be vexed. In Isaiah 63 and verse 10, Isaiah writes and he says, but they, speaking of the children of Israel, they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. Therefore he turned to be their enemy and he fought against them. So the very Holy Spirit of God that was trying to lead suddenly became their enemy. And so we need to be careful that when God is directing us and God is guiding us and we're aware of God's hand in our life, and we then ignore him, we then choose to do our own thing, we run the risk of vexing the Holy Spirit. You don't want to vex the Holy Spirit. You really don't. The Holy Spirit is a person who speaks. Did I say three things? Pam pointed out that four. The Holy Spirit is a person who speaks to Peter in Acts chapter 10. Peter has this, he goes into a trance. It says he was hungry, he was up on the rooftop and he was praying, and the scripture says he got hungry and he went into a trance. Of course, my mind wondered how long he waited for lunch that he went into a trance. But anyway, he went into a trance and this sheet came down with all sorts of animals in it. Many of them by Jewish custom were unclean. And God said to Peter, take and eat. Take and eat. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter says, by no means. By no means. Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. Peter says, I'm a good Jew. I've never eaten this stuff. It's not kosher. And the voice came to him a second time. This was the second time it came down. And said this, what God has made clean, don't call common. Was God talking about food there? If you read that story, it had nothing to do with food. It had to do with three people that were waiting outside his door. It had to do with Gentiles. But nevertheless, God spoke. Peter heard him speak to him. He says, take and eat. Don't call it unclean if I call it clean. In Acts chapter 13, and while they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, he spoke. He said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. The Holy Spirit spoke to me many years ago. Don't think I'm strange. It's true. I was driving back from the Cape. I was driving in heavy mist. I was falling asleep at the wheel. I said, Lord, you've got to keep me awake. And I was driving along in the mist. And God said to me, slow down, there's a sharp corner. I slowed down, there was a hairpin. On the top of a mountain pass, if those of you know the road, I was coming back from Swartberg to Underberg. And I was on the top of that pass. And suddenly, there was a corner. I heard God say to me, slow down, there's a sharp corner. And I went down that hill in the mist. God said to me, watch out, there's a car coming out of the left-hand side. As I got to the bottom, a yellow Volkswagen came across my path. God spoke. I heard him. I'm told as you get old, you repeat yourself, but I did give a testimony the other day about God speaking audibly to Helene. My cell phone was in the car with her, so I couldn't phone her. And I needed her to pick me up. I was in town waiting in the sun, and I didn't know when she was going to come and fetch me, and she didn't know either. So I prayed, and I said, Lord, you can do this quite easily. Won't you tell Helene to fetch me? And Helene was knitting in the car with the radio on, and as clear as daylight over the radio, God said, come and fetch me. Started the car, came and fetch me. The Holy Spirit is a real person who wants to be real, real to us. Not spooky, not strange. He wants to be real to us. He doesn't want to live in the back room of your house, ignored. He doesn't want to be avoided. He wants to be part of your family. He wants to be part of your lives. And folk, we need him. We need him in our lives. Then thirdly, what I want to say is we need the Holy Spirit of God, the person of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. We have probably heard of the fruit of the Spirit. How many of you have heard of the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace. You've heard of that, eh? The fruit of the Spirit. Have you ever considered that in order for the characteristics of the fruit to be those of the Holy Spirit, it follows that they must speak of his character. They must speak of the character of the Holy Spirit. And when he fills us, we start to display the fruit of the character of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Does that make sense to you? Or am I far-fetched here? In order for the fruit of the Spirit to be the fruit of the Holy Spirit, it must speak of him. must speak of his character. So in Galatians chapter 5, we have them. What are they? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. So the Holy, part of the Holy Spirit's character is love, because he's God. Part of the character of the Holy Spirit is joy. Do you want joy in your life, or do you like life to be difficult? You want joy in your life. Part of the character of the Holy Spirit is joy. Part of the character of the Holy Spirit is peace. Peace, folk. Boy, do we need peace in this world. Part of his character is peace. Part of, I love this, eh? The Bible says part of his character is long-suffering, not patience. Patience is quite flippant. Long-suffering, you know, when they're really getting on your goat, then you need to be able to hang in there. Part of the character of the Holy Spirit is long-suffering. Gentleness, he's gentle. Part of the character of the Holy Spirit is his goodness. He's good. Faith, meekness, he doesn't puff himself up. He doesn't come and blow a bugle and say, here I am. What does he do? He points us to Jesus. He's meek. And temperance. He's not wild. He's not wild and chaotic. He's not unruly and out of hand. He's not what is depicted as the Holy Spirit in many places where it's just chaos. That's not the Holy Spirit. What's his character? Those things that I've just read to you. And let me ask you, are there any of those things that I read that you would rather not have in your life? I would like them all. I would like all of those in my life. Are these attributes not something we all desire for ourselves? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance, goodness. Wouldn't you like a friend? Wouldn't you like to be friendly with somebody who had those characteristics in your life? Wouldn't you like a friend like that? Eugene Peterson, writing in the Message translation, writes these verses that are our passage today in John 14. He says, if you love me, show it by doing what I've told you. I will talk to the Father, and he will provide you another friend, so that you will always have someone with you. This friend is the Spirit of Truth. The godless world can't take him in because it doesn't have eyes to see him. It doesn't know what to look for. But you know him already because he has been staying with you and will even be in you. The Holy Spirit will be in you. So God gives us another friend, just like Jesus. Some translations say comforter. In verse 17, Jesus identifies this as the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of Truth. The Greek word is paraclete, and it's used only by the Apostle John. He uses it in the Gospel of John and in his letters at the end, but he's the only one who uses it because John had such a glimpse into the spirit world, such a glimpse behind the veil. And the Greek word can mean many things. It can mean comforter. It can mean advocate. It can mean someone who draws alongside you. It can mean intercessor, somebody who prays for you when things are going badly. The Oxford Dictionary says a friend is a person with whom one has a bond of mutual affection and respect. That's what a friend is. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24 says this, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Folks, I want a friend like that. The Holy Spirit is such a friend. Jesus knew that when he ascended back to heaven, we would still need his comfort and his companionship. We would still need it in our lives. And in John 16:33, he says, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, you will have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. Jesus said, take heart, I've overcome the world. We need him as our close friend that we can talk with. Some of us just talk to. But we need to talk with the Holy Spirit. We need to talk to him and tell him what's going on in our lives. And we need to listen to him as he talks to us about the way he's leading us. We need him as our guide and our counselor in this turbulent time that we live in. We do, folk, don't we? Pick up your, go and buy a newspaper this morning and tell me you don't need Jesus, that you don't need the Holy Spirit today. We need him. John chapter 16 and verse 13 says this, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. So the Holy Spirit is not an abstract influence. He's not just a force. The Holy Spirit is a real person. We need that person of the Holy Spirit in our lives. At this time, I need him in my life. And I'm sure many of you need him in your life. With all the uncertainties we have to contend with, we need a comforter, don't we? We need a counselor, don't we? We need an advocate. We need somebody to intercede on our behalf because we don't know how to pray. We run out of words. We need the Holy Spirit. What about you? Let me encourage you today. Seek after him. Seek after him. He'll be a great blessing in your life. Let's bow our heads and pray. Our Father, we thank you so much for the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that in this day that we live in, just as it was difficult in Jesus' day, so it is difficult today. And we need you as our friend. We need you as our guide. We need you to bring peace in this chaotic world. We need you to help us make decisions. We need you to give us counsel when we don't know which way to turn. And we thank you that in you we have that. And so, Father, we just bless you in Jesus' name for your glory only. Amen.
Thank you so much, Evan. Sure, yeah, what a good reminder. Just for me, I think what really just stood out is the fact that there are all these fruits of the Spirit that really we all so need every day. And it's by really just trusting to ask the Holy Spirit to come and work in us and to draw alongside us. That's how we're going to live that out. So thank you everyone for joining us today. It's been lovely having lots of visitors too. We're going to have some tea and coffee.